I'm just going to get right into the message right now because out of that praise and worship, I just, you know what? I can't wait to get to church. I just can't wait. And I know that the presence of God, thank you, Charles. I know that the presence of the Lord is going to manifest. You know, there's a difference in the presence of God being somewhere because the presence of God is everywhere. There's a difference in the presence of God being somewhere and the presence of God manifesting at that particular point in time. And the something that the Lord spoke to my heart the other day, and he said, I inhabit the praises of my people. But he said, but I confirm the word that is preached. He said, I inhabit the praise. That's the reason you have praise and worship and you have the word of God. And I just want to let you know that Friday morning, from about 5 o'clock on Friday morning till about 10:30, between 10:30 and 11, I was having an incredible, how would I put this, an incredible, luxurious bath in the presence of the Lord. Getting soaked with His presence. And I didn't expect that to happen because I have great times, you know, with the Lord. And that's the reason the Lord just wakes me up earlier and earlier and earlier. And I guess He knows that I will get up. I do ask permission to have my coffee. He knows I will get up. And I just love being in His presence. I love His presence. And in His presence is fullness of joy. The Lord at that time really started downloading some things to me. Some things that I can share right now and some things that it's going to wait till later. But he began to speak to me concerning the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I told my people to occupy until I come back. He said, I didn't tell them to hide. I didn't tell them to retreat. I didn't tell them to pull back. He said, I told them to occupy. The word occupy there means to do business, to do my business until He returns, to do my business. He's not returning for cowards. Matter of fact, if you go to Revelation, the 21st chapter, you'll find out that cowards don't even get into heaven. That's Revelation 21. It says it right there. First on the list is cowards. People that live in a way that deny His name. That's a scary place to be. So he said, I've said to my people to occupy, to do my business, to do the works of Jesus until I return, to do kingdom business, kingdom-minded, kingdom-focused until I return. And then he said this to me. He said, and when I return, will I find faith on the earth? Will I find people believing? People doing spiritual warfare? People praying, understanding the day and the time that we're living in? And then he said this to me. He said, when I come back, as I have said in my word, I'm coming back for a glorious church. Come on. A glorious church. Yes. Without spot and wrinkle. A glorious church. The word glorious there also means a miraculous church. A church that believes that God will do what he said that he will do. A glorious church. You know, the Bible likens us as the bride of Christ. I know some people have a problem with that, but it is given as an illustration. It's given an analogy. I know that also Jerusalem is called like a bride descending. But it also, there's so many illustrations that Jesus gives when he comes back for his church that they're like, we're like a bride. I've done hundreds of weddings. And the one thing that I have never seen in all of my hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of weddings, I have never seen a bride walk down the aisle with a filthy dress. I've never seen a dirty bride.
Wow. Yeah.
Every bride that I've ever seen, face is shining. Smile. Just lit up. Glorious. Beautiful. Coming down the aisle. Never ever look down the aisle and sing, oh, yuck. What in the world is going on here? No, and that's what Jesus said that he's coming back for. He's coming back for a glorious bride. He's coming back for a glorious church. He's coming back for a church that is so in love with him. I have never seen a bride walk down an aisle and get about halfway and look over and see a good-looking man and kind of go over to the side and say, call me when this is over. Here's my number. Never seen that. Here's the bride is always focused on the groom. And the bride cannot wait until she walks through those doors. And that's the same. And the groom has just got this. Now, some grooms are very nervous. So they're trying to smile. And sometimes I have to say, I would suggest that you put a smile on your face right now. Because I'm standing right there beside them. And they light up. A lot of them are seeing that their bride is so beautiful, they'll start crying. They're so moved in their heart. And I believe that when Jesus comes back for us as his church, it's going to be the same thing that Adam saw when he was created and God breathed the breath of life into him. Think about this. Have you ever thought about this? I think about things like this. What's the first thing that Adam saw when he opened his eyes? The smile of God. The smile of God. If your eyes could be open when you're born again, you would see the biggest smile on the face of Jesus. You would see him dancing and jumping up and down because the Bible says, matter of fact, every time somebody is born again, there's a party thrown in heaven. Y'all know that. It's in the Bible. The moment you receive Jesus as the Lord of your life, you immediately instigated a party in heaven in your honor, in your name. As your name was put on the Lamb's book, written in the Lamb's book of life. And I believe when that happens, that name is shouted out all over heaven. And I believe in these last days harvest, that there is going to be shout after shout after shout after shout after shout. There'll be heaven will be a continuous party because so many people are getting saved. So many people are coming to Jesus. Yeah. So many people are realizing that the lies and the deception that have been promised to them out of all kinds of lifestyles and all kinds of ways of doing things have left them totally empty. Completely. And they're looking for joy, and they're looking for peace, and they're looking for real love. So that's the reason the Bible tells us in Romans the 13th chapter, verse 11. The Apostle Paul is writing and he says this. Do this. I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible. Do this, knowing that this is a critical time. It is already the hour for you to awaken from your sleep of spiritual complacency. For our salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed in Christ. So evidently the word salvation there means something more than at that particular point of just getting saved. It says that you're already saved, but my salvation, what is he talking about? He's talking about the return of Jesus. The return of Jesus Christ. He said, for our salvation, our final salvation, is nearer to us now than when we first believed in Christ. The night, this present evil age, is almost gone. And the day of Christ's return is almost here. Now you must remember that when you hear language like that, the night of this present evil age is almost gone, there is somebody that knows this word is written. There is someone who knows that the season and the times that Jesus talked about is upon him right now. That is Satan. And the Bible says in Revelations, the 12th chapter, Revelations 12, it says this. He says, knowing his time is short. Knowing. He knows. He knows when the time is short. Not that he has a revelation of when the church will be raptured or Jesus will come back. He doesn't have that revelation. The Bible even says if he'd had the revelation of what happened on the cross, he'd have never crucified Jesus. So he doesn't have that revelation. Only the Father has that revelation. But yet at the same time, the same thing that we have, he knows the seasons and the timings. He knows what is happening in the earth. And when he sees these things happening, he knows his time is short. And the word short there means brevity. It means a very, very short time. He knows. So the Bible continues there. Knowing his time is short, he comes to the earth with a great wrath. A great wrath. Remember, Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. Not talking about the great tribulation. He's talking about in this world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trials. You're going to have testings. You're going to have things happening to you. But then Jesus didn't leave it like that. He said, but be of good cheer. You know, the word cheer there means be of good courage, for I have overcome what is going to come against you. I have already overcome it so that you can overcome it. Okay, so he says, the night, this present evil age is almost gone, and the day of Christ's return is almost here. It's almost here, folks. I'm telling you, don't you dare give up right now. Don't you throw in the towel right now. It's almost here. So he said, so let us fling away the works of darkness and put on the full armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves properly and honorably as in the light of day and not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity or irresponsibility, not in quarreling or jealousy, but clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for, not even think about gratifying the flesh in regard to its improper desires. This is a day and a time you want to be living and led by the Spirit of the living God, not by your flesh. So the Bible says here, he said, Paul said, hey, knowing the time is critical. It's a critical time. You know, here's something that I think many of us can relate to. I know I can as being a pastor, but I can also as people in my own family graduating to heaven. And when somebody gets a telephone call and says, hey, you need to get down here right now because it is critical. He or she is critical. You know what that does to you on the inside? It alarms you. It puts you in a mode of moving as fast as you can. Getting someplace as quick as you can. Why? Because you know it's critical. You will drop everything else. Whatever you were doing at that particular point, whoever you were talking to, whatever you were watching, whatever you were involved in, you can say, no, I've got to go here because this, and I have to do this because this is a critical time. And so Paul is saying that he said, it's a critical time, and here's what he's saying. He said, and it's time for us to wise up. To wise up. You know, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I would have some of my family members would say to me because of some of the dumb things that I was doing, some of my activities and things that were bringing hurt to my pain, to my mom and dad, and I would have people say things like this to me. Hey, Al, you know what? Son, it's time for you to wise up. It's time for you to wise up. It's time for you to grow up. But it's time for you to wise up. Because if you keep going down this path, it's going to cost you. There's going to be destruction at the end of it. You can't see it right now. And older people will tell me that. And me, being as young as I was, thinking that I was invulnerable. You know, things happen to other people, but it could never happen to me. Well, it did happen to me many, many times. Bad things, destructive things that came into my life. Why? Because when people told me to wise up, I would not listen. And I just kind of shunned it off and just went on my merry way. You know, the Bible says there is a way that seems right in a man's own eyes, but in the end it leads to destruction. And it's amazing because the Bible also says this. It says that God looks at the wisdom of man and calls it foolishness. And I really thought that I was wise doing some of the things that I was doing, running with my friends, doing the things that we were doing, because that's what the world is all about. I didn't know the first thing about the Word of God. I just knew what was before me. I just knew what the world was laying before me. Did you know the world can prepare a table before you also? But what I have found out that sooner or later, somewhere in that food is a little bit of arsenic. A little bit of poison that can bring death to you. Can bring death in a lot of things. Maybe not physical death, but death in a lot of different areas of your life. So he said, it is time to wise up. Matter of fact, when we talked about the critical time, it is a critical time right there. Even in 1 John, the second chapter, verse 18 and 19, John is writing and he makes this statement. He says this, little children, it is the last hour. Now, if John is writing, it is the last hour. Think about what it is right now. And actually the word hour there means the final time. So if he said it was the final time back then, what do you think it is right now? He said, little children, it is the last hour, as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. He is coming. This is not something that Hollywood fabricates or comes up with. This is a person who will rise up and he will have an answer for the whole world to bring them into peace and solve all of their problems. And the Bible tells us that he will do that with the power of Satan, and he will do that for 3 years, 3.5 years. That's called what we call in the Great Tribulation. But let me say this also. That man cannot come onto the scene until the church is taken away. And I've heard people say, well, no, the church can't be taken away. It's the Holy Spirit that will be taken away. Step back. And I said, well, wait just a minute. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit. And he will never leave me nor forsake me. So if he leaves, I got to go with him. He ain't leaving without me. I've been sealed by the Spirit of the living God. I am going. But the Bible says that he can't come onto the scene until he who restrains him. Now, there's only one entity in this earth that can restrain Satan. It is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. And then he says, and I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's the reason that the Lord Jesus Christ is rallying his body and saying to us, it is time to wake up. It is time to do spiritual warfare. It is time for you to use the keys against the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness in this earth. Yes, what we're seeing is what Jesus prophesied. There is a major war going on between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And if the kingdom of light focuses and becomes the kingdom of this earth instead of the kingdom of light, when we come down from our position in Christ Jesus and we try to deal with things on this earth with flesh and blood, you're going to lose every single time. We must realize that when we intercede and when we pray using the name of Jesus and doing spiritual warfare, you've got to realize that we fight the fight of faith, but the battle belongs to the Lord. God is arranging and rearranging the nations to fall in place with his prophetic timeline. Do I like what a lot of things that I see going on? No, I don't like. I don't like it. Matter of fact, I get angry at times. I get upset at times. And I learned a long time ago, because there was times that I would get upset and I would get angry, and man, I'd start doing things in the flesh. And I realized that finally the Lord just dropped in my heart one day this: you're wrestling not against flesh and blood, son, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. And when you try to fight flesh and blood with flesh and blood, there's only one thing that can happen. He said somebody's going to get hurt. And I said, but Lord, he said, I allowed the anger to rise. It is called righteous indignation. I allow the anger to rise on the inside of you and the stirring on the inside of you, believing that what you would do is come to me and take it to me in prayer. But I said, but Lord, who's going to do about this? He said, if I want you to do something about it, I will tell you. But in the meantime, I want you to pray, and then I will raise somebody up. Right. Yeah. I will raise somebody up. The thing that you're praying about, son, you don't have the wisdom, the wisdom that is needed in that area for things to change. But I do have people that have that wisdom and have those abilities and have been trained and educated in those areas that they can move, and I will cause them to move if you'll pray. Is this making sense to you? If you pray. If you pray. If you pray. He said, if you pray and intercede, I can move on the heart of a judge. But instead, he said, many of my people are just sitting around with anxiety and worry, wringing their hands, thinking that I have just left this for the enemy and the kingdom of darkness just to do whatever they want to do. He said, they can only do what I allow them to do, and they can only do and go where they are allowed by my church. He said, as long as you're in this earth, you are the deciding factor. My authority that I have given to my body has not diminished. But there's an urgency. I am warning my people. I am awakening my people to the time. How many of you at times set alarm clock go off? You set alarm clock go off. Most of us do. Some of us get to the place that we've developed such a habit of getting up early, we just automatically wake up. How many of you do that? You just automatically wake up. Amen. I don't know if that's a curse or a blessing. So when I go to bed late, I've been up late doing things, it's like, oh, no. I know it doesn't matter because my eyes are going to open up anyway. So when the alarm clock goes off, what does it first do? Startles you because you're awakening out of a sleep. And you're trying to get things moving. Some people reach over and hit the alarm clock. It's called the snooze button. I was always told when I was growing up, you snooze, you lose. It's time to get up. It's time to start moving. It's time to start doing something. The spiritual alarm clock is going off in the whole world. Not just in America, but in the whole world. It is God's alarm clock. It is God moving through people, through the fivefold ministry, to sound the alarm to the day and the time that we're living in, to know that it is right now a very critical time. And we must get our priorities in order. He said, little children, it is the last hour, as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have already come or have come. By the way, this is very interesting. The word Christ there means anointed. So that's interesting when you read it, the anti-anointed one. The anti-anointed. Did you know the Bible tells us, the Apostle Paul told us in the book of Corinthians, he said this. He said the devil can disguise himself as an angel of light. Now listen, he didn't stop there. And he said, and his ministers of righteousness. This is a day and a time that you must be discerning. You mustn't just listen to someone giving you a sermon. You must make sure that the person that is speaking to you, that everything coming out of their mouth lines up and is in context with the Word of God. This is a day and a time that you must have a love affair with God's Word. more than you ever have before. This is a day and a time that you must renew your mind, because the culture, the ideas, the thinking that is out there is so in your face that if you don't know what the Word of God says, you will be in so much confusion, which will lead to so much deception, which will eventually lead to what the Bible says, that before Jesus comes back, there will be a great falling away from the faith. And faith only comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is the day and a time that you must raise up your children to know God's Word, to know Jesus. And let me just say this. I didn't say raise up your children to know church. Church is a vital, is a vital, important part of our lives. God is the one who put church here. We didn't put church. We didn't come up with this idea. Jesus actually said, I will build my church. And we are the church, all the people, we are the church. And yet at the same time, in the Bible, there were local assemblies. That's the reason that that Jesus was writing to the church in Ephesus, and writing to the church in Thyatira, and writing to the church in Laodicea and the other churches. So it's important that you teach your children so they can grow up and be as strong as Daniel in the middle of Babylon. That Daniel would say, now listen to me very carefully. He would say, with respect to the king's supervisor, please don't make me defile myself. And then God gave him wisdom. He said, let me eat this and then see how it goes. And of course, we know the story. But there's something about Daniel and how he was raised up in his household that he can go into the middle of the most ungodly, wickedest, immoral society of that time and not defile himself and keep his heart pure and keep his focus. Matter of fact, Daniel was so popular and God gave him so much favor that the only way that they could get him was to pass a law that he couldn't pray anymore. Let me think about that. Pass laws that you can't do this and you can't do that, and if you do, we're going to lock you up. That's the only way they could get him. They couldn't get him on anything else. Because his life was one he lived to honor God. He loved God with all of his heart. And even the young men that were with him, they lived their life to honor God also. So their households had been the same thing, teaching their children. Teaching them the Word of God. Teaching them, every one of their names has something to do with God. Teaching them that their name was prophetic concerning their destiny, their future. Teaching them so that when they became teenagers, think about this, they became teenagers and went into that environment, they stayed pure. They stayed right. They loved God with all their hearts. So the only way they could stop them was to pass laws to stop them. Then they threw them in the lion's den. That backfired. They were so faithful that they would make statements like this to the king. No, we will not bow down and worship you. And they were very respectful. I mean, they didn't say this with a, you know, with a hiss and, you son of the devil, you king, you. They didn't do that. They were very respectful. And they said, oh, king, we will not bow down. We will not give in to this decree. Even if it costs us our lives. He said, I'll throw you into the furnace. Throw us into the furnace, but we will not bow down. Now think about that. A furnace, which he said, ramp it up 7 times hotter than normal. To the point that his own men who took him to throw him in got burned up and died. Sacrificed his own men. Think about this. What would you do if there was a furnace in downtown Fayetteville? And somebody came to you and said, unless you do this and you bow down and you renounce the name of Jesus and do what we said to do, which is contrary to God's word, which means that you would be in sin, we're going to throw you in that bonfire. Now see, nothing like this has ever happened here in America. But right now in Nigeria, they are killing Christians by the truckloads, beheading them in the public square, killing their families, burning their families alive in their homes because they're Christians. In China, you have to hide. It's the reason they call it underground churches. I'm praying that we will not have to have an underground church. But if things keep going the way it goes, I think what I will do is have another plan. Well, I will come and have excavation done underneath this. They have underground church in their homes because there's so much persecution. Pastors in China right now are being arrested left and right. Other places. Yeah, Canada also. You think about that, Canada, just north of us. See, we live in such a bubble that we think, oh, that couldn't happen to us. That would never happen to us. You got to be kidding me. Have we gotten so in a position and place that we cannot discern how the devil is moving? Did you know the Bible says don't be ignorant of his devices? And so many Christians are walking around ignorant of his devices, the way he does things. And it's not until somebody builds the gallows like they did in Esther's day that we realize, uh-oh, we in trouble. The enemy knows a principle, and that is this. Jesus spoke the principle. A nation, a city, or a house divided cannot stand. So we've gone all the way back now to try to divide us because of race, doing everything they can to divide us concerning race. So now on top of that, in building the hatred there, now it's the unvaccinated versus the vaccinated. It's the sexual lifestyle, biological versus those who know. It is everything possible that people can think of. I thought about this as I was studying. I thought, aha, I know what the next one is. Okay, right now it's the vaccinated versus unvaccinated. Now it's going to be those driving electric cars against those who are driving those with fossil fuels. Then it's going to be the vegans against the meat eaters. And there will only be five guys left. The mask versus the non-mask. The beanies versus the non-beanies. The shirt tails out, the shirt tails in. Pants down or pants up? And we sit here and laugh at this, but this is how this earth is thinking right now. Any and everything possible to divide us and to get us to fight one another. And then it spills over into the church. Why? Because I love my news media more than I love my word. So I'm letting those that have an antichrist spirit load me up. Load me up with negativity and deception and all kinds of things. So that all of a sudden, now I'm operating in the flesh instead of operating in the spirit.
Come on, tell the truth.
It's crazy how the church is getting into a position and a place that we are beginning to act like and think like the culture more than having the mind of Christ. In this day and time, we must renew our minds. We must come in not to a church service, but to have an encounter with Jesus. To have an encounter with the Spirit of the living God. I'm coming with my brothers and sisters, and I'm going to assemble, and I'm coming to worship you, Father, with all my heart, with all my strength, with all my soul. I'm going to worship you with all that is within me. I'm going to praise your holy name. And I am going to come hungry for your word. I'm not going to sit here and just wonder how long is he going to preach so I can get out and get my natural food and then go over to Sweet Frog. Oh, how sweet it is. Mr. Frog. If we allow our appetites of the flesh to dictate to us the way we live, we're going to be in so much trouble. We're going to be so frustrated. We're going to be so empty, even though we're born again. And we allow the enemy to use us in our own homes to bring strife, upset, mad at the very people we love the most. Now, where do you think that comes from? That didn't come from Jesus. It comes when we don't crucify this flesh. It comes from selfishness. I want my way. Pride. Control. I want my way. When the Bible says we are to serve one another. Turn to your neighbor and say, he sure is meddling this morning. Come on, somebody shout out. Tell the truth, Pastor. Shame the devil. Tell the truth. I'm not going to let you get quiet on me just because it's the last hour. You know, I don't know about you, but before I got saved, when it was the last hour at the places I hung out at, they would ring a little bell, which means you have 1 hour to drink as much as you can before this place shuts down. And everybody would rush. Think about this. If it's the last hour, spiritually, what are we doing? Are we rushing to the hour? Are we rushing to this hour? Or are we becoming indifferent, unconcerned about what we see or what's going on around us? This is a day and a time that we've got to say, hey, when does my church pray? I want my house to be a house of prayer, just like God said. I need to get some things in priority. I need to get some things. I want to be a part of what's happening in these last days. I want to serve. I want to be a part. I want to do kingdom business. Because believe me, there is a harvest. We've already seen parts of it. Several Sundays ago, 55 people that we have never even seen before came and got saved. Last week, 25 people. Not even counting the ones that God gave me a word of knowledge, that those who had grown up in church, become a member of the church, it was in a family, but in religion, but had never confessed Jesus as Lord of their life. 4 people raised their hands. Pastor John brought one gentleman back to me to meet him. He was in tears. He had been in church all of his life. He was an older gentleman. He was in tears. He could not stop crying. He said, I've never been in a place where there was the real presence of the Lord. He said, I've never tasted that. I've never been a part of that. And then he would say, excuse me, and just kept crying and crying and crying. And he said, my whole life was changed today. He said, I realized my eyes were open. I've been in religion all my life. He said, I can't wait to come back next Sunday, and I will tell everybody about this. During the week, are we so excited about coming and seeing what God will do that we are telling people, not realizing and sometimes understanding that when you tell somebody, then the Holy Spirit moves upon them and the Holy Spirit will start to draw them. He told me, he said, somebody from your church invited me. And he said, for some reason, I could not get it out of my head. He said, matter of fact, I made a decision before I went to bed. All right, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to go to that church one time. I'm going to tell you right now, this is a slippery creek bank. He said, Pastor, he said, I got up this morning and he said, I could not believe it. He said, all of a sudden, every excuse that I could imagine started coming into my head. Oh, just say, you know what, you can go next Sunday. You don't have to go this Sunday. You can go next Sunday. It's amazing. Sometimes I think the devil knows more about what's going on in church than we do. He did not want him to come. And he said one excuse after another came. And he said all of a sudden, he said, for some reason I realized I need to get to that church. He said, somebody's trying to stop me. I'm going. And his whole life was totally changed. Totally, completely revolutionized and changed. This is what God is doing. We are praying and we are interceding. Holy Spirit of the living God, go into this city. Go into this county. Because what I do, I pray for the world. I pray for the world. I pray for the body of Christ. I pray. But God has stationed us right here. I pray for Fort Bragg. I pray for Fayetteville. I pray for Cumberland County and the surrounding areas and wherever the live streaming goes. I pray for that. But I am concentrating because God has me pastoring. Me and Pastor Cameron has us pastoring right here along with our other pastors. Has us as a congregation. He's put us here for this time. We are called for a time such as this. We are called for the last hour. We are the last hour, critical time. We are in ICU. We are in a critical time. And this is not something for spectators. It is for participators. It is all hands on deck. It is not sitting in the stands and just watching. It is saying, God, here I am. What can I do? What do you want me to do? This is a time that you don't need to wait for somebody to come tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, we need this and we need, or can you do this or can you do that? It is for us to rise up and say, God, you've given me gifts. You've given me talents. You've put something on the inside of me. I am not just going to sit here and just take the word in, which is great because it's a renewing of the mind, but I've got to be a part of this. I want some of this in these last days. So, sooner or later, I'll get to my notes. He said, little children, it is the last hour. As you've heard, the Antichrist is coming, and even now, many Antichrists have come by which we know that it is the last hour. Now, this is one of the craziest statements. Next. Is it up there? No. Okay, I have to read it. Hey, guys, it's 1 John, the second chapter, 18 and 19. Ha! Yes. Go to the next scripture. Watch this. I want you to see this. They went out from us. Oh, my gracious. Who is this written to? This is written to the church. This is written to Christians. And he said, they went out from us. I have never in my life, in my 50 years of ministry, I have never seen a day and a time that so many born-again believers and even preachers and pastors in pulpits are denying the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It is crazy. Do I grieve? Yes, I grieve. But Pastor Cameron and I have talked about this. We've talked about it with our staff. This is the day and the time that you must know who you're listening to. You've got to know this. Anybody that denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and is the Son of the living God and he died and crucified is an antichrist spirit. So he said, they went out from us. The Bible says in the last days there'd be a falling away, a departing. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be manifest that none of them were of us. By the way, one of the definitions of the word critical that we have here in critical time is this. It means involving skillful judgment as to truth. Critical. Involving skillful judgment as it is to truth. This is a day and a time that you must judge what you're hearing. You know, I hear people say this all the time. Well, the Bible tells us not to judge. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That tells me that you have not read the Bible. Hold on just a minute. Hold on just a minute. Now listen, because the Bible says this. Because Christians are saying this all the time. Well, you know the Bible says don't judge, don't judge, judge not. Yes, the Bible says don't judge another brother or sister if you are living the same and doing the same thing they're doing. That's hypocritical. But what we forget is in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, where Paul is teaching about discipline in the church, He says, we are not to judge those outside. God will do that. But we are to judge that which is inside. What does that mean? Now, if I judge somebody and I'm carrying out the same behavior they are, that's hypocritical. That's dangerous. But the reason that you judge what is coming, you must judge whether or not this is the Spirit of God or is it the flesh? Is it, what is this? What kind of action and behavior is this? See, if we didn't judge things inside of this local church, when it comes to our attention, our heart is that people will repent of sin or anything else. But once we find out, we have to go to the source. We have to meet with them. We have to judge what they're doing according to the Word of God. And if there is no repentance whatsoever, then we have a responsibility to remove them. Because if we allow people that are living in sin that we know of, that are constantly rebellion to God, and we don't deal with it, then we allow that spirit to come in here on you. That's the reason I take pastoring very seriously. Very seriously. So I tell men and young men all the time, if you're coming here and thinking that our single ladies in this church, you think this is a meat market, and you've come to inspect the chops, you're in the wrong place. Because I am the daddy, and Mama Tava's the mama, and we ain't gonna allow you carry up yourself in here and act like you love Jesus and you're out trying to get somebody in bed. No, ain't gonna happen in here. Right, Pastor Cam? Stand up and say that.
That's right.
No, sir. We on this staff are here to protect you. And when we find out something is going on, we will address it. And hopefully, like Apostle Paul did, hopefully people will repent. But I've had people look me in the eye sitting across my desk and say, I'm not stopping and I'm not repenting and God's okay with it. And my heart just breaks because of the deception that is there. And then I say, well, you're not going to be able to continue to do it here. Well, I'll just go somewhere else. Hopefully, wherever they go, they will call us to check on it, but nobody's ever called. So sometimes you have to do exactly what Paul did. Do y'all know what Paul did to a person who would not repent and stop? He turned them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, for the saving of the soul. Now today, the way the love of God is preached, you were like, oh no, nobody would do that. Uh-huh, I would. Because I care about the person's soul. I care about their salvation. And if the devil is released and they get to a place that all of a sudden everything's gone, you're hopefully what they'll do is come back and hit the altar and repent and get their life right before God and then realize, I've learned my lesson, I'm out of here. And you know in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, when the young man who was doing what he was doing, he finally repented. And in 2 Corinthians, the 2nd letter, Paul said, receive him back. Receive him back. Receive him back. Now, Pastor David has been here long enough, and Pastor Robert and Pastor John, to know that when I preach like this, Next Sunday, we have a lot more open seats. It is crazy. It is crazy. Y'all still love me? Let me real quickly, in finishing this up, listen to Ephesians, the fifth chapter, where it starts out in verse 1, and it says, imitate God as dear children. Imitate God. You know, people have told me and just said, that's an impossibility. No, then the Bible's lying. Because we're all being conformed to the image of Christ. It doesn't mean that we act perfectly and do things perfectly, but we're being conformed. It is progression, sanctification. I have been made holy, I am being made holy, and I will be completed when Jesus comes. All of us are in process right now. But let me just say this, because this is something that has separated me from right now a lot, even some of my friends, when I say this. And that is this. We can live this life. God has never lowered his standard. Matter of fact, it is a life of peace and joy. I can lay down my head at night and go to sleep. And unless the Lord wakes me up, I have sweet, peaceful sleep. But the Bible says in Philippians, the second chapter, it says this, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's inside, you work it out. We have a responsibility. It's like people walking around and a lot of times giving into the flesh as if we have no power. We have no say-so. The moment you got born again and the Holy Spirit came on the inside of you, you now have the power to live the life that God wants you to live. Do we make mistakes? Yes, we make mistakes. You don't have to keep making the same mistake over and over again. Because the Bible says, if I truly love him, if I truly love him, I will obey him. And here's what it says in Philippians, the second chapter. It is God who works in you to will and to do his good pleasure. There is nothing that you can do to get God to love you any more than he loves you right now. But it becomes the children's choice of whether or not we want to be pleasing to the Father. Yeah. It's our choice. We make that choice every single day. When we get around our peers, when we get around people we work with, we make those choices every single day. We make those choices in our homes. We make those choices whether I want to love my wife. Yep. I mean, Tava's in Maine with the grandkids right now. And I texted her last night saying, girl, I'm missing you. I'm missing you bad. And I tossed and turned and everything else because I'm missing my honey. So I had to send her a little song because I want to prepare when she gets back. I'm preparing my bride. I did. I sent it. Ain't no woman like the one I got. Every day the sun comes up around her. She can make the birds sing harmony. Every drop of rain is glad it found her. All right, y'all get your mind back here. How did that happen? Ramon, there's some things you keep to yourself. Listen to Ephesians, Therefore, see that you walk carefully, living life with honor, purpose. Honor what? Honoring God and honoring one another. Purpose. Think about right now, what is your purpose? It should be with kingdom mindset. What is your purpose? What are you doing, what you're doing, and who you're doing it for? And courage. Boy, do we need that today. Courage. Listen to this. Shunning those who tolerate and enable evil. Shunning them. It doesn't mean that you say nasty things to them. It's just basically saying, hey, bro, I can't go with you there. That's not who I am now. And not being afraid to say, hey, man, let me just tell you something. I'm a Jesus man. I love Jesus. I've been saved. Man, I can't do that. I don't want to go there. I can't do this. We got to get to the place that we can say that. You know, I've had plenty of people in my life say, why don't you want to do that? Because I'm in love with Jesus. Oh, you got religion. I said, no, I don't have religion. Glory to God, I got saved from religion. Got delivered out of religion. I don't have religion. I have relationship. And I have relationship with my Father through Jesus Christ. And I said, it changed my whole life. Man, it delivered me. It set me free. And it says, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil, because what I do is witness to them. Not as the unwise, but as wise, sensible, intelligent, discerning people, making the very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity, using it with wisdom and diligence, because the days are filled with evil. Therefore, do not be foolish and thoughtless, but understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is. And how do we do that? Romans the 12th chapter, verse 2. Don't be conformed any longer to this world, but be transformed. Because I'm supposed to be being conformed into the image of Christ. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. I've got to the place now that I myself, after 50 years, I am now listening to more podcasts than I ever have before. You know why? Because I am surrounded with so much evil. I am surrounded with so much negativity. I am surrounded with so much hate. I am protecting. I am guarding. It's amazing how many people today have alarm systems at their home. Why? Why don't you leave the doors open and the windows open? Because of the day and the time we're living in. It's so funny that we will pay all this money to put in alarm systems and pay monthly a company monthly to monitor everything that goes on, and yet we will not guard our hearts with all diligence. We won't guard what we hear and what we see. We won't guard what our children see or hear. Do you know who they're talking to? Do you really know who they're talking to? Do you really know what they're looking at on their phone or video? Or do you really know what is there? I had a pastor actually tell me this the other day. He said, I had a pastor visiting me, and I handed my phone to our worship team and said, hey, I want you to do this song. We've done it before. Do this song here. Take my phone and go in there, and y'all just kind of listen to it. This is actually before service. And the pastor said to him, he said, oh, I would never hand my phone to somebody. And the pastor friend of mine looked at him and said, why? He said, because there's probably some things on there I don't want anybody to see. And the pastor, who is a friend of mine, who believes the same way I do, thank God, he looked at him and said, you've got a problem, and you're pastoring a church. He said, and he looked at him and he said, "Do you not have any fear of God at all?" And he said, the pastor broke down and repented and said, I'm taking everything off. I can hand my phone to anybody at any time. Anybody. I can go and hand it to any of you anytime. You can look up, go in my history, go anything that you want. I'm safe. And it's not because I'm a pastor. It's because, number one, I love God. I love my wife. I love my children. And I love this congregation. And I have a fear of the Lord. I work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I can walk in with my phone, and I did it the other day. I can hand it to my secretary and said, you can find the stuff on here. Just look it up, whatever you want to do. I didn't go get halfway down the hall and go, oh, God. I forgot about that. No, I don't have to do that. Because it's only those who want to ascend to the mountain of God. Somebody said to me one time, and it just said, well, that's in the Old Testament. That's the old mountain. And I said, oh, no. Read your Bible. I said, in Hebrews, it says that we have not come to Mount Sinai. We have come to Mount Zion, the mountain, the holiness of God. Who shall ascend to that mountain? He who has clean hands and a pure heart and has not lifted his soul to idols and has not spewed lies or falsehoods, but he who walks in the ways of God. I don't know about you in this day and time. I'm going up. I'm ascending. I'm ascending. God's calling us up higher. He's calling us up to walk. Not that we look self-righteous or act self-righteous. No, it's just that, listen, don't confuse my love for God, guarding my heart, doing the things that I do, living the way I live. Don't say it is legalistic, like some has accused me of. Don't say it's legalistic. Are you kidding me? It is the epitome of the grace of God. The grace of God teaches us to say no to all ungodliness and worldliness. Titus, the second chapter, verse 11. No. It's not that I'm under the law or trying to get anybody under the law. I'm just simply saying this. Love Jesus with all your heart. Love your spouse if you're married. Love your children. Realize that there is a lion's den out here. And it's getting more ferocious. And what they want is they want your kids. Just like in the Old Testament when they sacrificed their children to the god Molech. We must take inventory of where we are in our own lives and what is there with our children. My son didn't feel like coming to church because he's tired. Boy, I wish I'd have had a mom like that. Unless there was a bone sticking out of my leg. Or I had sores and stuff all over me. I'm going to church. I mean, that's all there is to it. I'm going to church. Have you ever heard that song by Brandon Lake called Talking to Jesus? If you haven't heard it, Brandon Lake, Talking to Jesus, you need to listen to it. I listened to that song first time and I wept and cried because I always got up and I was always hearing my dad talk to Jesus. And the scary thing was, and I didn't quite understand it, he was always talking about me. But thank God it worked. Thank God it changed. Can you say amen? the will of God, that we firmly grasp what is the will of God. Live with honor, live with purpose, live with meaning in your life, because before long, we will be standing before the Lord. He's coming to get us. That love Him with all of our heart, that obey Him. Yeah, there's times we miss it, but we repent. If you can get to the place that you can live by being disobedient and it never convicts you, it never bothers you, something is wrong. In this day and time, we've got to get back our love for Jesus, our love for God, our love for His presence, our love for His people, and our love for the harvest field. We must look at our priorities and saying, the things that I'm doing right now, does it count when I stand before God? It doesn't mean that we can't have fun. That's part of life. It doesn't mean that you can't go on vacation. That's part of life. That's actually a trap when you do nothing but ministry. Even Jesus Himself looked and saw the crowds and got in the boat. It's a cruise boat. And told His disciples, get me out of here, because He was worn out and He was tired. Sometimes you need to come apart, lest you come apart. There are times the greatest thing you can do is rest and be with your family and be with your children and enjoy things. And then come back to the assembly, come back to the family. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you honor Him. If you take your family down to the beach or you go fishing or whatever, you're there to, if you meet people, to honor Him. But you're there to relax. You're there to rest. You're there to lie in the S-U-N under the S-O-N. There's nothing wrong with that. But here's the thing. Get your priorities. If there's anything in those hours on Friday that the Lord was speaking to me, it was this. Take a spiritual inventory. What is your purpose on things that you're doing? What is your purpose? Does it bring honor? Are you bringing honor and glory by the way you're living and what you're doing? Are you honoring God? Or do you have the fear of man and what people will think about you more than you have the fear of the Lord and what He will say to you? What I want to hear is this: well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I live for, to hear that. And in the meantime, I love people. I love my wife. I love people. Are we a perfect marriage? No, we have our issues, but we work them out. We work them out. And the older I get, the easier it is. Happy wife, happy life. It's very simple. It's very, very simple. I told a young man the other day, I said, son, do you want to win an argument or do you want to be happy? He said, I want to be happy. I said, then don't try to win the argument. Just discuss it and work it out. Can you say amen? Can you say amen?